The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to...
Hey, Justin, what's wrong?
My brother and me, whatever.
What's the matter?
Vice show or something. Well, look at the calendar.
Yeah?
You see, if you look at the My Brother and Me calendar, you see how Sunday, February 26th was like circled and there's a smiley face. You see, I put like a bunch of happy face stickers on it and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You drew three people sitting on a couch and they're eating popcorn and they're laughing and jesting with each other.
Right. That was us. Watching the Oscars, and it was great. Billy Crystal was just so funny and such a mensch. And
Billy Crudup was in rare form.
Billy Zane was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Billy O'Connolly was Irish. And
Billy Dee Williams was there.
I got POD.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. It's I got post-Oscar depression. It's a clinical thing. It's a real disorder, and I'm living with it. I'm not dying from it.
Yes. Yeah. Symptoms include the sorrow that comes from knowing that you're just not going to see Billy Crystal again for another 4 or 5 years.
No, I mean at best.
Justin, can't you self-medicate by like watching the SAG Awards and the Golden Globes and the Grammys and the Kids' Choice Awards
and City Slickers and City Slickers 2?
That's like it's like going to the methadone clinic, though. It's good. It's definitely a way towards healing, but I don't want to kick this addiction. Yeah. I just want to there are no after effects. There are no side effects of this addiction to glamour, this addiction to suspense, the anticipation, the drama, the pomp, the circumstance, the tradition. To say nothing of the gowns.
You could do what I do, Justin.
What's that?
Live every day like it's a red carpet show.
A red carpet show, you say?
Yes. And as you're walking down the street, just walk up to people and go, who are you wearing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been arrested a couple times.
Who am I wearing? A smile, because I'm living my life on the red carpet right now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live my life on the red carpet, and next year, when the Oscars come on, I'm going to TiVo it, I'm going to watch a minute a day. The problem is that I use it up all at once. I mainline a whole big chunk of Oscar magic when I should be spreading it out as part of my morning like prep, morning get ready
slow
ritual.
Slow drip it.
I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your baby brother, Griffin. Guys, Vegas odds. What are we putting our money on? Best pick.
For you mean for 2013?
Best pick for this. Well, yeah, I guess by the time this episode will come out, we'll have missed it.
I think it was Titanic again.
I think Titanic 3D is going to win handily.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about how hard it swept.
Can 3D remakes actually win Oscars? Because if so, that's probably not right. you just took the movie and you stretched it out so that it comes towards the audience a little bit.
When they have the power to move you, which I think Titanic 3D will do.
Right, but Titanic 2D also had that power. Only now it's like, well, the ship's coming at me. All right.
But I think because of the economic collapse, it's going to be especially relevant.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying I have to put their glasses over my glasses, which are already pretty big, and I'm not sure I want to pay money to do that.
Why does that have any bearing on its awards potential? You've lost me a
movies
little bit.
Should be a pleasant experience, right? Like movies that win Oscars, the critics, the Academy, the people.
Okay.
When they walk out of the movie, they say, "Ugh," right? They say, "Oh man."
Is that a good
Yeah. They say, or maybe a bad but I think
that sounded like somebody who had like super bad gas.
Yeah.
Nobody walked out of No Country for Old Men with a fucking spring in their step. They walked out either confused or kind of lonely.
Reminded of their eventual ever approaching extermination.
So it can go, I mean, it can go both ways, but you can't get that experience when you have to put a pair of glasses over your fucking glasses so you look like a dad on vacation.
Why No Country for Old Men got people so hard is because you hear the author's name and it's Cormac McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, does that sound like a cheery guy.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a pub owner who gives you free bacon with your beer.
Yeah.
Kind of like a festive, jolly, and it's just not that. That's not his style at all.
Justin, the name of the movie is No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Like, there are no words in that title that are pleasant.
Well, then again, it could...
Unless you cut half of them off and put grumpy at the beginning. And then it's like, oh my, this is very funny. I guess Travis is an idiot.
Also, No Country for Old Men could be describing, like, a spring break vacation, right? This place is not for old men. It's for
no.
Sexy.
You're thinking of No Old Men Allowed, which was a much different movie.
I'm
starring a young Shia LaBeouf.
I'm thinking of Co-Ed Explosion, Shark Attack.
Who would be in No Old Men Allowed? It would probably be Shia LaBeouf, and in his final performance, Mr. Pat Morita. I would think would be the cast.
And like Shia LaBeouf dresses up Pat Morita like a young guy to sneak him in.
Hey, kids. I'm here.
Wow.
Surf's up.
Okay.
Wax on.
Great.
I've just been dumped. Do you have any suggestions for getting over an ex? More importantly, how can I make my ex-boyfriend jealous and or regret leaving me? That's from Dashed Lines.
Now, I feel like we've answered the first half of this question a lot. Recovery sandwich. But I really want to delve into the second half of this question.
Or how can I make my ex-boyfriend jealous and or regret leaving me?
The problem is you can't do the second thing while also doing the first thing, and vice versa.
Wow, that's so true. Your heart has got to let go of him, and you've got to move on to the next man.
You see that report that they just came out from all the scientists that said that love and hate in your brain is like the same part of your brain? So when you hate somebody so much because they hurt you, guess what? You might as well still love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, like, if you're trying to make him jealous and trying to make him regret leaving you, you're doing the opposite.
Yeah.
Wait.
And what?
I don't understand.
Hold on. I would say that if you are actively like, hey, look how happy I am now, you're confirming in his mind, like, that he made the right choice.
You're saying that, like, you're removing, that by moving on, you're removing one of your best regret weapons, and that is
guilt.
Yeah,
exactly.
So she needs to hang on to loneliness and just look like super super lonely all the time.
I feel like that's not what Beyonce would do.
No, what would Beyonce do, Griffin?
Beyonce would just get a new man, and the new man would be incredible.
Yeah,
he's
at the gym every day, and every night he's in front of the stove making up the finest cuisine.
He's not wearing a shirt, and he's hugging her from behind. He's hugging her from behind, and they're standing in a window, and the wind is blowing into the room.
Now, you have to be careful, because if you're looking for a man that's not wearing a shirt, it could go either way.
That could go one of two ways. But this man...
This man is impossible. It's impossible for a man to be like this.
You've heard of a six-pack? He has a 30-pack. It's disgusting.
Cube of abs.
It looks like bubble wrap down there.
He's got terrible. A microbrewery inside
he's
of him.
He's got a whole Pabst inside of him.
So,
he is all man.
That's the quintessential thing, right? Like, I guess you could hit him up style, Blue Cantrell style.
You mean steal his credit card and run up a bunch of bills.
Petty theft.
Petty theft, right.
Identity theft.
I always wish that song had ended with her getting locked up.
Yeah.
And then having to ramp it off of a cliff, Thelma and Louise style. It'd be quite the caper tune. There aren't enough caper songs.
I love caper tunes. Music. They really do seem just like the purview of the Dixie Chicks. I'm saying that Beyonce has had a much more illustrious career than Blue Cantrell, so maybe you should take her advice. Get a man who is just psychedelic to look at.
If Beyonce is so much better than Blue Cantrell, maybe you can tell me why she named her baby after her.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Beyonce to name her kid after me. Now you're jealous. Didn't think I could pull this off. It took 10 years, yeah. Man, I miss Blue Cantrell.
That's the longest con, Blue Cantrell.
That's a pretty good, yeah, it's a pretty good con on her part. What a grift from Blue Cantrell.
You gotta let it go.
Yeah. Because what I was about to say was that this is what Facebook is for, but it's not. It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you block him. He can't see your shit anymore.
That's the thing. I think anything that you do, you're just digging yourself in deeper. Like, you need to let go of this on so many levels. Like,
yeah. The regret will come just, like, naturally, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're great. You're awesome. He's going to realize it. And then he's going to be like, what'd I do? How did I did it so wrong? And then he's going to feel bad. You've got to make sure your Facebook is full of pictures of you and Impossible Dave, the impossibly handsome man,
mm-hmm.
just like skiing while like he's reading Bible stories to local orphans, just mm-hmm. having the time of your lives.
Standing in a window without a shirt, maybe.
Yeah.
Just like he's ordering the sun's rays bake.
His muscles rippling in the breeze.
Mm. He's ordering you a drink at Starbucks that's so big they don't even put it on the menu, but he knows about the name of it. He's the only one. It's a really special drink, and he's sharing it with you.
Let me get a Gorto.
Can I a Gordo, please?
Gorto drip.
Hey, I recently started. Griffin, no, you know what? I was about to read the next question, but I'm going to do an executive order here, and I'm going to tell you to read me a Yahoo question
okay.
from the Yahoo Answers service.
I will ratify that.
Okay.
Do you have to do that?
Can I get a second? Can I get a second?
It's ratified. This one was sent in by Sarah Rimmer. Thank you, Sarah. It's by Yahoo Answers user FireRescue343, who asks, I have been drinking help. This is my first time drinking alcohol ever, and I'm drunk. How do I get sober? I've tried to sleep. I can't. Help!
Oh, man.
We've all been there, right?
Have we?
The first time your mind goes to a place that it's never been before? Yeah, we all need an Apache guide.
I have been to that place where it's like, well, this is my life from now on.
Yep.
I'm never going to not be this ever.
This again. Is just how I'm going to be now.
This is how things are forever.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I love our modern age because I did not run to the internet
that's
and tell everyone about it.
That's a pretty good the first time I got drunk story. You know, first time I got drunk, I got so drunk that I had to ask the internet.
The internet had to guide me out with its trustworthy hand.
And I'm sure the internet was like super supportive. That's who you want. That's who you want is your wingman when you're tripping through the mind fantastic.
Step one, just breathe. We're going to make it through it okay.
All you're doing now is exploring the boundaries of your own limits.
I'm here for you, brother.
I'm here. Just refresh. I'm here.
Are there any people to help? I mean, there are people that are like offering extremely helpful but thoroughly scientific advice. Like, your body will digest roughly 1 unit of alcohol per hour. 1 × 440 milliliters can of Stella is 2.2 units. A whole 750 milliter bottle of vodka whiskey.
Oh, I'm drunk right now.
I'm so drunk. What does this mean?
What does this mean? Yeah. I can't do math.
Get your science out of here and save me, God.
Take your shoes off, put your feet on the floor and feel it, and then make the spins go away. Drink a bunch of water and take some ibuprofen, you stupid.
Maybe do some math, apparently.
Yeah.
So, like, long division to figure out how fucked you are. Answer vary.
What's your BMI? Okay, first figure out your BMI, and then we're going to get through this.
Can you remember the first time that, like, when you start drinking at the age of 21 legally, when you kick that process off, you have no context for how much of this devil juice you have to put in your body to feel good. There's right. And there's a thin, thin needle you have to thread. between like, ah, this feels great, and oh no.
What did I do?
Do you remember the first time, and by first time I mean probably the first time you ever drank, that you were like, oh fuck, I shot the cannon indoors?
Yeah. I can remember being in a hotel and running around wildly trying to find some sort of semblance of reality.
Yeah. But
this was so messed up about the Yahoo Answers question is that I'm 31 years old and sometimes I still mess it up. Yeah, I'll be at an event I'm uncomfortable with and suddenly I'll realize that I'm trying to impress the international medicine doctor that Sydney knows while he's telling me stories about visiting Ecuador. I'm trying to impress him because once I saw Jungle to Jungle on TBS.
The worst part of that moment is you're watching like a slow wave like hit you.
Yeah. At first, you're like, oh, fun, I'm drunk. And that lasts for about 3.5 seconds. And you're like, yeah, I got to deal with this now.
Oh, no, this is my situation right here. It's a minefield.
No one else is this drunk. It's just me.
And the one thing I find it impossible to do when I'm in that place, and the one thing that I should do to get through it, is I lose that voice that says, you don't need to contribute this conversation. It's going just fine without you. Just keep a lid on that. You don't have to let them know.
Yeah,
that's your secret.
Wouldn't it be great if you did that one time and you're like talking to like a foreign ambassador? You're just like, bro, I'm sorry to interrupt your story about child labor or whatever. I just got real drunk, and he was like, "It's cool, bro. We've all been there. You want me to go get you some water or something?" It's cool, man.
You're gonna come down from this. It's okay, Mr. President. Okay. What happened to Tay Stations?
What? Can you use like your legal orders?
I was thinking about you're the president, and you could do an executive order to make TayStations again. Open up. It's think of jobs, job growth. Think of the job growth.
So I heard you used to smoke. Do you want to dog pound it out of here and just, I'm sorry.
Let's catch a butt so outside and we'll talk about discontinued hard chocolates. You're the coolest president ever.
You're really cool.
No, I mean that.
No, seriously, I mean that. I think you might be a lamppost. I think I might be outside.
I might have been outside this whole time.
But listen, you know what? I want to go to Yahoo Answers.
I love you, President Lamppost.
I gotta go see if they can help me because I'm so lost right now. Who is this person? Who's this person? I'm gonna try drinking. I know the perfect time and place to do this. It's a social. They say you have a problem with alcohol if you start drinking alone. This person like opened with that.
Yeah.
Opened with.
Where's he got to build to?
Yeah, I'm just gonna sit in a room and drink vodka.
I mean, that's not a bad idea, because this dude can drape himself in the anonymity of the internet like a warm, soothing blanket, and then ride this out, and then understand how much booze he needs to take. But if he's at a party, then it's gonna be a bad, rough scene.
Griffin,
yeah,
could you do me one favor real quick?
Sure.
Read me his username again.
It's Fire Rescue 343.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I hope he wasn't on fireman call. This is why it's so important that our nation's 14, 15, 16 year olds start drinking, because everyone has that embarrassing college experience, or maybe they do, maybe not everyone, but many have that embarrassing college experience where they didn't know their own limits and they drank too much. And they got sloppy. If we start our kids drinking at 13, 14, 15,
or
they're gonna be like Hawkeye Pierce and BJ.
Yeah.
Sipping martinis and just living life. Living it up.
Can we not bring this into our public school system and alongside like sex ed have like party ed? Where it's like, listen, if you're at a music festival and somebody offers you opium, don't do it. But if you do, have a buddy take you to the chill out. You wanna find the most air conditioned bus that is there and go in that.
We had a party ed at our high school, but everyone told me he graduated in 87 and he was just usually sitting at the bleachers. That was my party ed. Mm-hmm. He was a good man, though, and he was best man at the wedding. I love him very much.
I love you, Party Taught Ed. Me
everything I know.
Thank
I
you,
love you, Party Ed. Thank you for your tutelage. Hey, I recently started working on a project with a friend. For the project, my friend was... I'm guessing that accent is appropriate. I haven't read the question. Something felt strange when I was reading his work, so I Googled a line of what he wrote, only to find out that he had plagiarized it.
Aww.
When I confronted him, he said that he did not, and that I am crazy, even though he is clearly lying. This is not a new thing. He has even come to me with an idea for a podcast where he gives out fake advice.
Oh, what? No.
What? Now it's personal. Help me, brothers. Do I take the project for my own, or should I just cancel the project altogether? That is from Zucked in Zuckersburg.
That's great.
Oh, man. He did get zucked.
It sounds like we're about to get fucking zucked. We need to shut this kid down.
Okay, listen, you no-account motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead. You're dead and you don't even know it. You're walking around, talking, eating Liquid, and you don't even know you're dead.
You are dead. We know lawyers, and we know desperate, desperate people.
People that would do anything for Lick-A-Maid.
Mm-hmm.
They love Lick-A-Maid, and we know where to get it. The only place you can get it is this one shitty gas station in Chillicothe.
And we're not going to tell anyone which shitty gas station in Chillicothe.
No, we're not telling anybody. We have a currency, and it's Lick-A-Maid, and we can get anything we want. Okay? So you better back off and come up with another podcast idea or steal somebody else's. Maybe two friends chat about the events of the day.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
Or a bespectacled man judges people.
I love it.
Fairly or unfairly. Maybe that's an idea you could do.
Two Canadians and a comedian friend yuck it up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the new tagline that I've come up with for Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Oh, and call it Start Podcasting Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's alphabetically you've trumped them. Which is, as we all know,
commence podcasting yourself.
Start podcasting time to podcast. Just bring back Captain Kangaroo. He's not making his TV show anymore. You're making it into a podcast.
Yeah, don't
steal anything but our show. This is all we got.
Don't steal. Remake.
Yeah.
Remake. Reboot.
Remake.
Refresh Remix. The franchise. Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God. What if this kid remixed, refreshed, rebooted My Brother, and Me.
With Captain Kangaroo.
The My Brother, and Me. The sequel. It's new. It's got Vanderbeek. It's got Tobey Maguire.
You just gotta call it, like, the ultimate My Brother, and Me.
Right. My Brother, and Me babies.
Ultimate Universe.
Ultimate Universe 2.
2022.
My Brother, and Me. 2099. Babies.
Reborn. Baby YZs.
Rebirth.
Exodus.
Holiday special. So there are plenty of other ideas for podcasts out there. And honestly, aren't podcasts more important than whatever this dumbass project you're working on for school is? Listen, none of us are going to high school anymore. We all dropped out to make podcasts.
Yeah.
And if you can get a pretty good idea for one, I'd drop this project altogether.
Yeah, but not when you stole from someone else.
Or not when you stole specifically from us.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've just realized, reading back over this question, the project, I don't think it's for school. Like, this is just a fun project they're doing together, right?
This is... Ooh, can you pick a more abstract word to describe the thing you're doing?
A project.
Yeah, we're building a soapbox.
But I'm just wondering, like, who's like, hey, let's do a fun thing together. Okay, let me go plagiarize some stuff.
Sure.
Sometimes
you get overwhelmed. Your friend, Zucked and Zuckerberg, has great taste in podcasts, and he's got a lot of great ideas, and you think, I wish I had some of his ideas, mm-hmm. and then you get some of somebody else's ideas.
But there are fucking ideas.
Yeah. Please stop stealing.
You're standing on the shoulders of giants, and we're the giants.
Do you know what plagiarize?
Get off of our shoulders.
You know, we're little giants. We can't take the pressure.
We just plagiarize little giants just by mentioning it.
But he forced us into it. I feel real pressured now to come up with a new idea for a podcast as this guy's moving in.
And the Little Giants fan cast is it.
That's right. Little Giants. My fan cast.
Little Giants, where are they now?
They might be Little Giants. Oh, Jesus. A fan cast about Little Giants.
The movie that nobody saw but the three people who are currently speaking. So, hope you like the goofs, everyone. Good night.
Okay, if you were to make a kids' sports podcast that is about, it could be about Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
Little Giants. Little Big League, Rookie of the Year.
Guts.
Big Green.
Guts, Global Guts.
Guts, Global Guts.
Bad News Bears and Bad News Bears Remake.
Yeah. What was that one with Keanu Reeves where he taught all the inner city kids? A Thing or Two About Baseball?
Yeah, Ladybugs?
It was called A Thing or Two About Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Ladybugs would be good.
Mm-hmm. Heavyweights?
Heavyweights, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
There's go-kart racing in that.
Dropping LBs is the ultimate sport. Torturing Ben Stiller is the most rewarding game.
I think that would be a pretty good podcast. Why don't you make that one?
Yep. Yeah, here. That one's yours. We just wrapped a little ribbon around it. Go fucking take it. But don't take ours.
Take it.
I'll plagiarize somebody who murdered someone sometime to your friend. I'll show him. I'll rip off their style, but I'll do it on your friend. The murder.
Now, can you go over this for me one more time?
Yeah, I'm trying.
John Wayne Gacy. He was a murderer, okay. Right?
Yeah.
He murdered kids, though. Who didn't murder kids? Who was just like an all-around murderer?
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper murdered women. I'm going to steal his style of murder.
Uh-huh.
And I'll kill your fucking friend.
Okay.
I'll come to your friend's house.
Okay, let's cut out all the jibba jabba. You're going to murder somebody.
You're just talking around.
I'm not going to guarantee murder this guy. But if a show called Three Siblings and One, I'll fucking kill him. He's dead.
He's dead. He doesn't even know it. He's dead. So you do whatever you want to with your project. Because it might not be a problem anymore. Because it sounds like we're going to have to kill your friend.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry you wrote in. And this blood is on your hands.
You'll hear from our lawyers.
Our dead. Our if they don't.
Our lawyers, don't kill are, first. Our lawyers are ghosts.
Wait a minute.
Everyone we know is a ghost or a horse. That's sort of
Griffin.
Yep.
That's sort of the theme. Can you Yahoo answer, please?
Sure. This will flow nicely. This is sent in by Emily Wall. Thank you, Emily. It's by Yahoo Answers user Nom, who asks, Demon Hunter, help me.
Wait.
I want to be a Demon Hunter. I beg you guys. Real Demon Hunters out there? Knock, knock. Answer me. Teach me. I want to be a Demon Hunter. And the best. Please answer me. I only want answers from the real ones, not the wannabes or the non-believers.
Oh, there's nothing worse than wannabe Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
I'm trying to...
They bought all their demon hunting gear from L.L. Bean.
I'm trying to make a circle of salt to capture a fae, and it's like, whoa, what'd I trip over? Like, get out of here.
You want to be demon hunter.
Some of us are trying to track down the Balrog. Buddy. That guy wouldn't know a werewolf from a wolf man.
Mm.
Do you think in the world of demon hunters, like, the lowest tier are, like, the Sasquatch hunters?
Yeah.
They're just wandering around in circles and looking. I am convinced that Sasquatch hunters are just looking for a cover to have gay sex in the woods.
They do keep saying the word squatch a lot.
Yeah. They say squatch a lot. That's clue one. Clue two, it's just two guys. Like, in any other culture, the fact that two guys in a tent go to the woods, stay for some unspecified amount of time, and come back with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're having secret gay sex with each other that they're hiding from their wives. Because the alternative is that they're looking for a shit that does not exist in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
I sooner understand fishing, and that's just hurting fish for no reason. This is
that's just being mean to fish.
That's just being mean to fish, which after seeing... like. That movie about Nemo, I don't see how anybody could do that.
You're stretching this out to encompass basically all folklore. So across the globe, like Chupacabra, anything. Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster, these are just different reasons for different countries and different cultures to have secret gay sex.
Loch Ness Monster, two Scottish gay guys wanted to have sex by a lake.
Area 51. a bunch of people in Nevada got together in the desert
for dusty sex.
Dusty secret bone circle is what they did, and then they came back like, "Yeah, we found a bunker. It was great."
It's great. We can't ever find it again, but it's no big deal. What other mythological beasts?
Spring-Heel Jack.
Spring-Heel Jack. Is that Jack the Ripper?
I don't know.
He was quite real.
So, yeah. What about Lake Champlain?
What is that?
That's like America's Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, well, remember when I was talking? No, I think that's real. That one is actually
real. That one's true.
Jersey Devil, real.
Mothman?
Two older gentlemen from the Point Pleasant area who wanted to have gay sex under a bridge.
I see.
Jackalope Jackalope sounds like some sort of gay sex. That one's not even a clever disguise.
That's when two guys named Jack eloped together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little on the... what I'm saying is basically the entire cryptozoology field.
Dinosaurs,
obviously. Cavemen wanting to have gay sex with each other.
Oh, that's a huge conspiracy. A lot of bucks went into forging that one. That one must be for, like, I don't know, rich museum owners to have gay sex with each other.
My name is Stephen J. Smithsonian, and I'd like to have secret gay sex with another man. Yeah. I know dinosaurs.
Welcome to Jurassic Secret Gay Sex Dungeon.
Welcome to Jurassic Pork.
Delicious. Fuck, yours is better.
Thanks.
Oh, man.
Hey, Deb, I'm going to be back next weekend. I'm just going to go out and look for some megafauna with Gary. I'll come back. Hopefully nothing hurts me out there in the wild. That's not real. That's not a real thing you're going out looking for, and everybody knows it.
I don't think everybody knows it, Justin. I think that there are some groups of people that have gone out there looking for El Chupacabra, and what they have found instead is, hey, I had such a fun time looking for Chupacabra. Let's...
How much would you hate to be the rookie Sasquatch hunter really in it to find the Sasquatch and you're really passionate about it?
Mm-hmm. True believer.
And you find a group of guys who are like, yeah, we're Sasquatch hunters. Yeah. And like they're all winking at each other and like, oh, they know where the Sasquatch is. Mm-hmm. I'm going with those guys. And then you get out there.
The fucking witching hour rolls around and it's dicks out, everyone.
Everyone dicks.
Dicks ahoy.
Dennis, unbutton your pants. We're going to find a Sasquatch.
Come here, you big fur monster.
You know what they say about big feet? What's up, Sasquatch?
Squatching it.
Let's squatch together. That's why they call secret gay sex Sasquatch.
Oh.
But this is interesting. This only applies to men. If women want to have secret gay sex with each other, they just do it because they're grown-ups. they do it like adults. They don't hide in the forest and pretend to be looking for the globster or goat man. Dog.
What's a globster?
Oh, sorry, say again?
A globster?
A globster is a blob.
A glob that's also a lobster, obviously.
It's a blob from New Zealand. yeah. It's pretty brutal. But listen, guys, just admit you love each other and live your lives. And stop just leave Sasquatch alone.
Yeah.
He's got better things to do.
He's got better things to do than avoid the clumsy advances of a bunch of closeted homosexual men.
I'm looking back at the Yahoo page, and I would just want to share a couple of responses. One was by Yahoo Answers user Mastema, whose image is, I would say, an absolutely terrifying pale white face with murderous red lips and a long black hair. And he says, "Stop hunting. I came to you. Kill me."
What?
And then right below him is Wicked Vamp, whose profile I would say fits the exact description I just gave you, who says, pulls up a chair. "Okay, demon hunter, let's see you do your thing. Mastema, looks like we know what's for dinner tonight." Oops! Whoops.
What?
Whoopsies.
And then the third one that says, guys, this is your dad. Get off the computer. Whoops. Come down to dinner.
Aw, man. Nope. Looks like you accidentally roleplayed on Yahoo Answers. That was the thing you did there. Oops.
I'm waiting for a call from work, and I can't get it while you guys are on the modem. Please log. Please log off.
Oh.
Goddamn. People.
Do you think...
Demon.
Are they...
Demon hunters. Are there more answers about demons?
No. demons. The thread there just stopped. I mean, there's somebody else who says, you twittered soul. Why would you like to become a hunter? You... not join us. So I think they were also going for I'm a demon.
No.
Let's be honest, demons would not be good at typing.
No, because they have like three fingers and it's like all claws.
Yeah, it's all claws and prongs down there. Mm.
What if the best place... Would you be shocked to find that the best place to find demons is on Yahoo Answers?
I would be shocked.
Like, if that turned out like they've all been there?
I would be shocked if the best place to find them was literally anywhere else. I think this is a breeding ground. I think that Yahoo Answers web servers are built on a fucking hellmouth.
This sounds like the spinoff series that Blake Lively is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be just a normal average girl... till one day on Yahoo Answers, I found demons, and now I hunt them because I am half demon. And also, we got canceled. Sorry, Dad. No. I messed up. Hey, Griffin.
What?
You know where I go looking for demons?
Where do
my
you
own personal demons?
Where do you go?
Money. That's my demon. Yeah. That's the monkey on my back.
That's your vice?
That's my vice, is the pursuit of the green stuff. The old greenbacks. Sawbucks. And there's only one cure for
presidential that. Flashcards!
Presidential flashcards, baby. Dead prezos. Yum, yum, give me some. Some money, too. Today we're getting taken to the money zone by Apple and Kiwi Comics. According to the information that has been provided to me, it is the story of a moderately insane adventure with his lazier and less insane adventure friend, and they live together in they live fairly average city lives, not including the nightmarish creatures, the kidnappings, and journeys to strange places. Also, their dog is a cactus.
You left out the fact that one's black and one's white.
You won't guess which one. Because
they said in the email to us to say to everyone else.
Because it's one's moderately insane black adventurer, and he's lazier and less insane white adventurer.
Right. I didn't understand specifically what role race played in Apple and Kiwi Comics.
I assumed it's like in Final Fantasy you have like the white mage and the black mage.
Oh. So like
one's a black adventurer and one's a white adventurer.
That's good, Travis. Oh,
one follows the forces of chaos.
Uh-huh.
The other, the forces of peace. I like that. I like that possible.
We might be getting racist again.
Okay. No, that's not what I mean.
You mean that one is unruly.
Would
you white say is, savage, Justin?
White is good and black is bad. I don't see what's the problem. What,
oh no!
What problem in my head? Oh, so Apple and Kiwi Comics.
Apple and Kiwi Comics.com.
Check it out. And if you need
to wash away the dirt of our racism.
Need to wash away the dirt of accidentally thinking you might have sounded racist on your comedy podcast, boy, have I got a soap for you. It's Stack Soap, and it's soap that stacks. I know what you're saying. Witchcraft. Illegal. No,
black magic.
Black magic. Fuck!
You need some white soap to clean up your black magic.
Oh, fuck!
God damn it!
Shit!
But, okay, I'm gonna try again. Soap that goes into another soap.
Can you explain it?
The soap squatches together.
Okay. When you've used up one bar of soap till you just have a sliver,
okay.
A stupid sliver, there's a crevasse in the next bar of stack soap that is specifically made so that your sliver can go inside the new bar. Sounds great. So you will never miss out on using soap again.
How does this interface with the shampoo suds that I use as soap?
It is going to completely negate your need for them because you'll finally have real soap like a real boy. Travis, you use Stack Soap while visiting me this weekend. What'd you think?
I was surprised to find it did not dry out my skin, and it left me feeling cleaner than I believe I've ever felt before in my life.
And wonderful.
That's a God's honest.
Stack Soap's looking for your contributions to help get them off the ground. You can go to stacksoap.com. They've already met their fundraising goal, but they're still taking donations, and you can still get a lot of great soap for a pretty darn good price as you help a burgeoning young business find its footing. So go to stacksoap.com. Griffin, I believe you have a song about Apple and Kiwi that you have prepared that makes no mention to skin color. Can you swing that for me?
Yeah, this is gonna be a tricky wicket. I was gonna do a goof, like I downloaded a fart piano app on my phone, but now the waters are choppy enough as is. Oh, I think I should really give this one. Okay. Whether you're black or white or wrong or right, not that black people are wrong and white people are right all the time. You gotta go on adventures with your ethnically diverse friends. That's the best kind of adventure you can have at appleandkiwicomics.com.
Nope. Appleandkiwicomics.com.
Was that racist? Was the song racist?
No, no, not at all.
I said that black people were wrong.
No, you said not that they were wrong.
It was a couplet. It was obviously a couplet.
That's the listener introducing his own racist parallelism into your song that's just about friends and adventure.
And race.
You've been working on a Stack Soap song.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing a right in the middle, like right after the first bridge, doing like a fart piano solo. So like... Like right there, like right up.
I shouldn't find that as funny as I do.
Yeah, you certainly shouldn't, but it doesn't.
Why am I 4 years old?
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. How many more weeks?
Wait. I think you got like two more weeks.
Fuck.
To come up with something. So Griffin will have something pretty sick by the time all is said and done. It's gonna be pretty great. But we'll have to keep following his jingle progress for our first act. So, hey, and if you're looking for a more racially sensitive podcast, might I suggest any on the Maximum Fun Network? Here's an ad for one right now.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Every week on our show, Jordan Jesse Go, I would say that we share a little slice of our hearts.
Yeah.
And a little peek at our dicks.
But every week we have a podcast where we have fun and funny conversations with guests from the worlds of comedy, film, television.
It's all online at MaximumFun.org or just search for Jordan Jesse Go in iTunes.
Hey, are bulges in the crotch area of a guy's pants socially acceptable? My friend is poor and has very few pairs of pants. One he got recently at a Goodwill causes a rather noticeable man lump in his groin region. He asked me if they were okay, and being a guy myself, I had no good answer for him. Do the ladies find this attractive? What? Are there specific social events where this kind of thing is accepted, encouraged? That's from Awkward in Arvada.
Does this person think that this guy, when he bought the pants at Goodwill, it already had a boner in it?
I'm so confused as to the premise. Is this like the pants are so tight that you can see all the nooks and crannies? Or is this like because of like the way it's sewn and when you put it on a belt, it just naturally like lumps up?
Or are you saying your fucking buddy has got priapism and you don't know how to deal with that reality?
I do think that if your friend has priapism, he's suffering from that you do need to get convince him to see a doctor. That's your duty as a friend.
Do, do the pants? Bulging. Do these new pants rub against his thing in a way that is vaguely pleasurable?
No. He just
is a medical freak. Pants. Is what you're saying?
He likes new pants. Yeah, okay.
He's got a new. He's got. He likes new old pants.
He loves new old pants. Hey, you know, I personally, I love this. I love women have the ladies have been walking around for like
all time,
like long all time, just
10,000 years.
Bosoms full blast.
Yeah,
like the ladies have them cranked up to the
max.
Can
you turn down your bosoms, please? Because I can't hear you over your bosoms.
The ladies turned up the bosoms full blast, and then they tore off the knob. So I love that guys see that and say, you know what, I'm turning the tables on this. I'm gonna go on my bulge on full blast. Now here is the caveat to this: the ladies will not enjoy that.
It is not in any way intriguing.
Well, maybe no, we're just way. Not doing it right yet. Like maybe we need to come up with pants with a little slit so you can just see, like, I don't know, a couple inches of the right side of the shaft.
Yeah.
Just, you're talking like junk cleavage.
That's what I'm talking about, is shaft cleavage. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Why is it okay for ladies to show 1/3 to two-fifths of a boob, yeah, and then it's not okay for a guy to walk around with a little...
With an inch to an inch and a half of clear plastic right down there, just showing off one of the edges of the shaft. Maybe just some
mesh.
A vertical slice.
Some mesh down there, and the weave of the mesh is dependent on how formal the event you're going to.
I love this.
You're going...
Oh, did you see his dickletage?
Oh, Christ. TM, don't plagiarize that, event. You fucking Zuckerberg thief.
Zuck's friend, we're watching you. If you're going to maybe a wedding or a funeral, mm-hmm, you have a tasteful, understated that may dickletage.
You don't want to distract from the groom's dickletage,
right? You maybe even it looks solid in certain lights.
Ooh, that's a good look.
Do you know who can make dickletage look great? At Clooney at the red carpet.
Clooney
start with a, this he trend. Could go 2.5 inches of dickletage down there.
Maybe Colin.
I don't want to think about it.
Colin Farrell sets it off and pretends it's something they've been doing in Ireland for years.
Sure,
that makes it immediately cool. Yeah, we call over there. We call it cockleblogglers and something. And then yeah, it's all the rage over there. The lads, they love it. The cockleblogglers. We've been wearing them since I was wee.
You break that.
And then
word.
Over here, it's like I'm in. I'm down.
I think we just need to figure out what the appropriate amount of shaft to show is to get a woman to do the Diamond Dave double take.
Yeah.
Where, like, she lowers her Dayglow plastic sunglasses.
Yeah.
Woo! And then, like, it does a triple, like, bam, bam, bam.
Like a zoom.
This specially wired dickletage that every time I peel it open, it plays a record scratch sound from my crosshair.
What?
What?
That's the sound a woman makes when she's doing a Diamond Dave double take.
She does
take.
A fucking Scatman riff?
She turns into Scatman Carruthers.
Yeah. Well, if you guys have never made a woman do it, then I'm not surprised you don't know what she sounds
I
like.
Have never made a lady. I have never, ever made a lady Sweetie Beep with her mouth. But I've never experimented with dickletage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I spent some time over in Europe, so.
Oh, sure. So it's all the rage over there.
Yeah, explains it.
My buddy Colin Farrell showed me what to do.
I went to Burning Man. It was edible down there. What do Whoa. I care? Set it off.
It wasn't made to be edible.
It wasn't made to be edible, but it was a long weekend. We all made a lot of mistakes. So I guess, yes? Is that, like, what's the answer? No? I don't. If you got a bulge, there's no guarantee it's not a tumor.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying to you.
I'll be worried about you if I see that.
Hey, let's get that drain.
But if I can see your terrible. Healthy... shaft. A healthy few inches.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's going to put my mind at ease, and you're going to look good doing that.
I also want to take a moment to say hi to our frequent listener, our grandmother, Nani.
Oh,
hi, Nani.
Oops. Certainly enjoyed your visit this weekend, and I hope you got back to Florida safely.
You'll find Griffin, the special cut-down version episode of this episode that we sent to you through Hotmail, so that you can listen to it, and you won't hear all the stuff we said about dick tips and shafts.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I love you.
It's we make her a special Nani friendly version every week. It is 4.5 minutes long.
We get Diplo and Cascade in the mix, and they do a remix version of us.
Chop. Our Nani loves one thing, and that's for us to be chopped and screwed.
Chopped and screwed, the Nani Club mix.
Griffin, can you read me a Yahoo, please?
Sure. I forgot about this one. This one was sent in by Golly Ayali. Thank you, Golly. It's by Yahoo Answers user Vampire Knight Fan. Why did so many critics not like Without a Paddle? I mean, it was a good movie, had action, was really funny, and when I watched the movie, I was never bored. Was it really that bad? And if you don't know why critics didn't like it, then can you tell me what you think of the movie?
Why did those Philistines not appreciate the beauty of Without a Paddle?
Just a real quick, I know we make a lot of references here that people don't get, and you would be excused for not being on board with this one. This stars...
Matt Lillard.
Let's see. Matt Lillard.
Dax Shepard.
Dax Shepard.
That's from memory.
Seth Green.
And Seth Green in one goddamn movie, I shit you not. And the three of these bros, these buddies, are... going on a camping expedition?
I think they're mourning the passing of one of their friends by partying in the woods.
Yeah, that's it. Let me to the Google.
Yeah, so that's they reunite for the funeral of a childhood friend, and they start looking for treasure?
Yeah.
And they get somehow, they're criminals. They're dangerous criminals that get mixed up in the... Get mixed up.
The Apple Dumpling Gang is also looking for the treasure.
Yeah, they're on a race to... Here's all I'm saying. Budget, 19 mil. Gross, 58 mil in the USA alone. Mm. So sorry, haters.
Hey, haters, what do you think about that? Oh, you gave
it... Sorry, haters.
You gave it no stars, Mr. Ebert? Well, guess what? It's got three it's got three stars. Dax Shepard, Seth Green, and Matt Lillard. And $58 million. So keep your stars.
And it won the Oscar for surprising as gross. That's amazing. $58 million?
In the USA alone.
We are dumb assholes. We don't deserve
to. That's why they made Without a Paddle 2.
And Scott Adsit is in it.
Oh,
from 30 Rock.
Oh.
It's a great movie.
Scott Adsit is in the film credited as Greasy Man. Scott Adsit, but that's actually sounds pretty accurate.
It actually has a... There was a person in the movie who was literally named Morgan Reese Fairhead. That is not a good name.
Listen.
How long was this movie? How long did people sit in a theater and nod and chuckle a lot? 95 minutes.
That sounds about right.
The year was... Yeah. It was 2004. We're still trying to get over 9/11. You gotta cut us some slack.
Yeah, who answers...
We all did...
I don't know how to tell you this, but the film wasn't very good. And so the critics said mean things about it because their job is to say, hey, this film wasn't very good. And here's how you know. It had Dax Shepard in it.
Yeah. See? I think it breaks down. Everyone individually has been involved with a quality production.
You tell me what Dax Shepard was good in right now, and I will eat my own head off my neck.
Get ready to say goodbye to your head, because he was amazing in Idiocracy. Yep. Sorry, Griffin.
Fuck.
Sorry.
I can only reach my lips.
Seth Green was in Buffy, and Matthew Lillard was in The Descendants. So what the fuck? I don't know. Like, I don't know. You get him... You get these three together, and it's a cinematic holocaust. You get separate. Sometimes they do okay. It's
that was actually the tagline of the movie, Without a Paddle, a cinematic holocaust.
It's fun. On the section on IMDb where it says stars, Matthew Lillard, Seth Green, Dax Shepard. If you mouse over the word stars, there's actually a picture of Tom Hanks farting. Weird. It's kind of a weird commentary on that.
Oh, God.
So it seemed, I don't know why people didn't like it so much. Were there any responses from, oh, God, were there some responses from defenders of the film, I Can Only Dream?
I mean, there's just some shit.
Hey, guys, Seth Green here. I thought it was great.
Because critics can't put bias into it. They look at it like you would look at a short story if you were analyzing it. They look at things we don't really concern about, like cinematography, speech, camera angles, etc., script especially. But I agree, most good movies get negative to mixed reviews. Hey,
Did they say one of the things that the critics pick on that they shouldn't is script?
They actually said speech. So, Matthew Lillard, I have to say, your line delivery in the scene where the canoe flipped and all of Seth Green's weed got wet and he said, my dank herb is ruined. I was not convinced. No stars.
I don't mean to be elitist here, but cinematography is basically what makes a movie a movie.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty big deal. Because
if it wasn't that, it would be a book on tape. And then you'd have to hear Seth Green said, oh, you soaked my ganj. What?
What? I have two reviews for you I'd like to read of Without a Paddle. The first comes to us from John J. Puccio from Movie Metropolis. It says, maybe the filmmakers should have called this picture Without a Laugh. That is from his review of the film. Just below, we have another review. I kept looking and hoping for a laugh that never came. John J. Puccio, Without a Paddle Blu-ray edition. So this fucking hero cracks open the Blu-ray and thinks maybe this time the Yahoo Answers user saw something I didn't. Maybe on the Blu-ray I can see that thread, but no. But he did go back to give it another shot. So don't say that he doesn't know his business. Because he most certainly does.
So I found a copy of the Without a Paddle full script transcription on the internet. And I'll be honest, I spent the last minute or so searching for words like toot just to see if, like, Matthew Lillard toots as italicized action.
Matthew Lillard toots as a bear smokes weed nearby.
And the bear says, man, this dank is wet.
And then Danny DeVito appears for a brief uncredited cameo as the bear.
I really want to watch this movie right now.
Yeah, I know.
I pretty much want to. It has become my new Inspector Gadget 2, my new white whale. I've got to see it and watch it. We need to start having My Brother, Me viewing parties where we invite a bunch of people. God damn it. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes. The percentage of positive reviews that it received from critics is 14%. The number of positive reviews it received from the audience that watched it, 73%.
Whoa. We are everybody. The 99%, by which I mean 73%.
I'd like to point out that, I'm sorry, math don't lie. What they've said there is that 14% of critics that went like, the audience will love this, they were right. Like, they called it.
Yeah, they, I mean, 14% of critics were, I mean, is that true? I mean, is that accurate? Like, 40% of critics were somehow more, have their finger on the pulse.
They're Hollywood elite. They are New York liberals, and they are tearing our country apart, and they are rating our Dax Shepard movies unfairly, and they are a cancer on the organ of this country that is American-made cinema. That's just where I'm at. Is all those things I just said.
Rich Klein says, looks like another gross-out farce, but it's actually a genuinely engaging comic adventure.
Wow!
Is it any of those things?
And my brother, Dax Shepard, was awesome in it.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. This is from Vince Kohler and Entertainment Spectrum, yet another one of the few critics that really had his finger on the pulse enough to know that America would love this movie. These guys get in way over their heads, stuck in the wilderness.
The cover, the fucking poster is them standing in the water and the water is over their heads. This dude didn't watch the movie. He just looked at the poster.
No, you can tell he watched the movie because his next sentence is, the characters are developed so the audience cares for the guys.
The characters laugh when funny things happen and cry when it is sad.
Amy Biancalli says, it's a successfully infantile new spin on Deliverance. What the fuck do you laugh at? Like, what do you think is hysterical?
I hear the original cut of the script was Matt Lillard and Dax. And is it cool if I just call him Dax? Because I'm pretty sure everybody knows who I'm talking about when I just say Dax.
Sure, yeah, everybody knows Dax.
So Matt Lillard, Dax, and Seth Green go river rafting to have secret gay sex with each other.
Uh-huh. It's called With a Paddle was the original title. They changed it because they didn't think loose anal play would freak some people out. So Americans, with your pretension and conventional attitudes towards loose anal play.
I bet you that if that shit had included loose anal play, then guess what? That 17% would have been closer to 80, 82. It would have gotten a certified fresh sticker.
Yep.
Think about that. How about it, Without a Paddle 2?
There's already Without a Paddle 2 called Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling that I'm reading about right now.
How about it, Without a Paddle 3? Grin and...
Without a Paddle 3D.
Grin and Bear It. But there's a bear, but also it's a... Talking about sodomy, I guess. There's sodomy and also a bear is there. Dax Shepard's back. Doing his thing.
Oh my god. Oh my god. There are two reviews. You're
still reading them.
Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling. One of them is from John J. Puccio, a movie Metropolis. Back for round three. It says.
What is it? Spiral into a giant tribe about, like, the consciousness of America.
We are the paddle.
He just wants to understand.
The paddle is all of us. We are the river of life that flows under Dax Shepard.
And in doing so, we absorb our own Dax Shepard, and each of us are Dax, and we are no Dax, and we love Dax. But in the end, we die with him.
Dax is all!
Dax is all! When it finally comes out on, like, the third one comes direct to Game Boy, watch it think. Shit. Now I get it.
Press B to drop your weed in the river.
Oh, when the third prequel comes out,
yeah,
then it ties the other two together.
Without a Paddle, With a Paddle. the third triumvirate. The Legend of Curly's Gold.
Without a Paddle 3, try not to lose this paddle.
Seriously, boys.
John's snippet is clearly the words frivolous and scatterbrained are in play here. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when they were assigning the review for Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling? Because no, guys.
John, hey, Pooch, you're pretty much an expert on this, right? Please.
Yeah,
no.
I got this, guys. This is my...
have we considered the possibility that Pucciano was the only person who saw this movie, but he paid $58 million to do so? Seems a little steep, but I gotta find out how these characters are developed, because I already really like them.
He's seen it at least twice. By the way, Without a Paddle, Nature's Calling, 22% of the audience enjoyed that. So,
wow. Pretty stark drop.
So we are growing as a country.
Wow.
This has been our Without a Paddle fan cast, my brother and me. Thank you again for hanging out with us. If you can take a second this week, and you say this show is free, I love it, I wish I could pay for it. Well, what you can do is tell somebody you know to listen. You give them a link to our sampler, bit.ly/itsmabimbam. And you send them to that. It's 14 minutes of YouTube gold.
And here's how this pyramid scheme works. You tell them it costs $1 to listen to, payable directly to you.
Right.
That's how you make the money.
We get the ears. You get the cash. It works out for everybody. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at MBMBAM, or Mabimbam in the common parlance. And if you could also tweet about the show this week, maybe throw a link to the sampler up and then use the MBMBM hashtag. like so many people, like DJ Pizzazz, Dirty Mustard, Kyle Mac 13, Andy Talks a Lot, Dylan Duarte, not Brandon Crane, Parsipzilla, our old friend Chris DeWhelan, Omnitarian, Captain Novelin just started. Hopefully he's enjoying the show. And everybody, thank you so much for tweeting about it, and that, because that's the only way we really have to spread the show's influence. So it means a lot.
Make sure you go and check out appleandkiwicomics.com, and if you would like to either have us awkwardly talk about your business or website, or if you'd like us to awkwardly wish you or someone you love happy birthday or happy anniversary, you can go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron and get a message on either our show or any one of the awesome MaximumFun.org shows.
I want to thank John Roderick. Can I do that?
Yeah, do be quick.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed, which is our theme song. Go buy it. I've told you to do it 100 times, and I'm sure you've done it twice already because you respect my time, and you know what's you know how valuable it is.
Sure. And you know what's good for you.
You know what's good for you. I'm not going to lie. I am reading the script Without a Paddle. Have been doing it for a while.
Still into it. Still it feeling it.
It is incomprehensible.
And go discuss Without a Paddle on our forums. Don't mention this episode. Just start talking about Without a Paddle in the thread for this show. And it will make people who do not listen to the show completely lose their goddamn minds. Swap stories. Swap fanfic. Maybe I want this third movie to get made. I want to see how the epic trilogy comes to an end. Or maybe just a 3D remake in theaters would be fine too.
I want to see how this. But, see how this episode comes to an end.
Yeah, me too. And it's with a question from the Yahoo Answer Service that Griffin's going to read to us to kind of just ease us into the week, something to think about, and we'll come back to next time.
Sure. This final Yahoo Answer was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Android 5000, who asks, could Dragon Ball Z be possible in some way?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
Is that a Dragon Ball?
This is me, my brother and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, 3 stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. 3 stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.